good to see everyone here this morning. We did have several visitors. Appreciate very much you being here. Some of you have been here before. It's been a while since you've been with us, and we appreciate very much you taking the time to be here. Some are here for other reasons. You're in town because of illness of someone that you love, and we hope that things will be better there, but we do appreciate very much you taking the time to stop and be with us today. This morning we're going to be looking at Proverbs 23, verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Truth, how important is it in your life? How much value do you place on truth? We save up our money to buy things that we really want. In fact, we may even work overtime so that we can have some toy that we want. Whether it be a boat or a four-wheeler or maybe it's a ring or something that you really want. You're going to work overtime so that you can get it. Why? Because you value that. Well, the proverb writer is giving us something very much more valuable to think about than anything on this earth. That is the truth of God. And he encourages us to buy the truth and not to sell it. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. Truth. The truth is what God says about anything. We can think about some things of our life and some experiences that we've had and some feelings that we may have about that. But let me tell you something. If it's not in harmony with God's Word, then it's not in harmony with truth. It's not right. Truth is what is real. Truth is the way that it is. And when God says something, that's the truth on that something. Whatever it is, that's the truth. All of God's Word constitutes His truth. Psalms 119 and verse 160. The entirety of Thy Word is truth. Truth is whatever God says. In John 17:17, Thy Word is truth. Sanctify them through Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. So whatever God says about a thing is truth. And that's what we're to buy. That's what we are to be focused on in life. What does God say about this or that? If you ever want to find out the answer to a question, if you ever want to find out what's important or what should be important in life, if you ever want to know what God says about this activity or that activity, turn to His Word and find out. And that's the truth about it. Doesn't matter what somebody else says about it. Doesn't make any difference even what I think or I feel about it. The truth is what God says about it. In this passage, he also mentions the need to buy wisdom and instruction and understanding. Now, these three things are all come from God. Wisdom. Proverbs is full of wise sayings and the encouragement, in fact, to buy wisdom. Proverbs chapters 2 and 3 encourage us to do just that. And value wisdom above all things. Wisdom, the wisdom of God, that which comes from His truth. Skill or prudence that comes from understanding God's Word, discipline, instruction, and understanding. All these things are very important in life, and they all emanate from the truth of God. What does God say about things, about doctrine, or about practice? You know, the Bible commands us to know and love the truth. Pilate in John chapter 10, or 18, verses 37 through 38, while Jesus was standing before him, Pilate asked him, "What is truth? What is it?" Well, a lot of people are asking that very same question today. What is truth? In fact, most folks don't think you can find it. Most folks don't think there is any such thing as absolute truth. We live in a subjective world. But the Bible tells us that we need to know and love the truth. Because, number one, the truth makes us free. John 8:32. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It sets us free from sin and the bondage of sin. And it frees us from the consequences, spiritual consequences of sin. If we accept the truth, we are forgiven, and then we are promised the reward of heaven. If we continue to live according to the truth. Sanctifies us, John 17:17. It sets us apart from the world. We're separate. We are in a different order, a different sphere. We have come out of that which is destined for punishment and destruction, and now we are set apart into God's family through the truth. Only through the truth, I may add. And it begets us to God. James 1 and verse 18. We are born again by the Word of God. And 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 22 and 23 makes the same point.
It purifies our soul when we obey it, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So when we obey the truth, we purify our souls and we're born again into the family of God. And it saves us. James 1:21. Receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your soul. So, truth is very important. Without truth, you cannot be made free. You cannot and will not be set apart from the world. You cannot and you will not become a child of God. You cannot and you will not purify your soul, and you cannot and you will not be saved if you do not find and obey the truth. Very important. A fellow by the name of Bill Muhlenberg, writing his review of The Truth War by John MacArthur. Now, John MacArthur is a Calvinist. There are many things doctrinally that he writes that I disagree with. But there was this book, this particular book, as well as Ashamed of the Gospel, another book that I have in my library, he makes some very, very good observations about truth and the importance of truth and the culture in which we live today, which actually despises truth and does everything it can to fight against the truth. But this is what Bill Muhlenberg said. He said that the Bible puts a very high premium on truth is indisputable, but sadly, the church today has largely downplayed and abandoned truth. Content to follow the spirit of the age. That spirit is comprised of postmodernism, relativism, emotionalism, and subjectivism. Truth cannot flourish in such poisoned soil. How successful do you think that we are going to be in preaching the truth and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ in a soul, in a heart of an individual who has postmodernistic beliefs? In other words, they do not believe there is any such thing as truth. You cannot know what truth is. How easy is it then to convince them that there is truth? It's not easy. Because that's the way they have learned to think. Everything is relative. Everything. Emotionalism, it just depends on how I feel today, whether it's good or it's bad. That's what the standard is. If it feels good, do it, we're told. Subjectivism, everything is subject to something else, to change. There is no constant standard, we're told. Well, that is the world in which we live today. But we need to let people know that truth is real, and that truth is important. Buy the truth and sell it not. This same ideology was prevalent in the days of Isaiah. Isaiah 59 verse 14, justice is turned back and righteousness stands afar off, for truth has fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. Truth has fallen in the street in America today. Truth has fallen in the street in denominationalism today. Sadly, truth has fallen in the street among some of our brethren today. It's not as important as it ought to be. There are many enemies of the truth. Philippians 3:16-18. The Apostle Paul calls those who stood against him and the gospel as enemies of the truth. Preachers of false doctrine, they are enemies of the truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, those who stood against the preaching of the cross of Christ, they saw that as foolishness. And people fought hard against the gospel of Jesus Christ in the first century. And people fight hard against the gospel of Christ today. 2 Peter chapter 2 and 3. There will be false prophets among you. There were false prophets among the people. There will be false prophets among you. And then he goes on and he talks about those false prophets in chapters 2 and 3 of 2 Peter. And how they destroy the souls of those who would accept the truth, but then they are led astray by them. In Jude chapter 1, in fact, let's turn over to the book of Jude. Jude chapter 1, the writer is making the point that we need to, number one, recognize the importance of truth and contend for it. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning the common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. That faith needs to be contended for. Then he goes on in verse 4, for certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They've taken the truth and they've perverted it, allowing for sensual fleshly appetites to be practiced and then say it's okay. And they've twisted the truth to justify it. And then as you go on down verses 16 through 19, he says, these are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. There are many enemies of the truth today causing problems in the body of Christ. Too many professing Christians have sold the truth. They profess they love the Lord. They profess they believe in Jesus Christ. They profess they believe in the Bible. But then they'll turn right around and they'll tell you it really doesn't matter what you believe. They'll tell you that doctrine isn't important. They will tell you that standing up for conviction actually is an arrogant thing to do. If you are firm and you're strong in your convictions, that's just being arrogant. And that's the preacher's job, to know the truth. That's the preacher's job to do all that Bible reading and study. And that's the preacher's job to understand the doctrine of Christ. That's the preacher's job. Truth has fallen in the streets. Too many professing Christians have sold the truth. They're not as the Bereans in Acts 17, verse 11. Too many brethren do not search the Scriptures daily to see whether those things that they are taught are so. Truth is important. We are to buy the truth. It's not enough just to hear it. It's not enough just to learn it. It's not enough even just to know it. It's not enough even to recommend it to somebody else. Not for me. We must buy it. What do we mean when we say we must buy something? Well, I think we use this kind of language quite a bit. When we're trying to convince someone of something, and they say, well, I don't buy that. What do they mean by that? Well, they don't accept it. They haven't received it. They don't agree with it. I don't buy that. Well, when it comes to the truth, are we willing to buy that? Are we willing to accept it? Are we willing to agree with it? And are we willing to obey it and follow it? Psalms 119 and verse 72 says, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Is that your attitude towards the Word of God? Better than thousands of coins of gold and silver? Psalms 119 and verse 127, therefore I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. I esteem the value of the Word of God more precious than gold, fine gold. Psalms 119 and verse 162, I rejoice at your Word as one who finds great treasure. You know, Jesus spoke about in Matthew 13 and verse 44, the man who goes and sells all that he has so that he can buy a field. Why? Because he found this great hidden treasure. So he goes and he sells everything that he has so that he can have that treasure. And in verse 45 and 46 of Matthew 13, we have the merchant who goes out seeking for goodly pearls and he finds one pearl of great price. And what does he do? He goes and he sells everything that he has so that he can have this pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like that. The gospel is like that. It is extremely valuable. What are we willing to exchange, to give up for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the truth of God's Word? What are we willing to exchange? Not money. Now, it is true. You go down to Martell's or maybe even get on the internet or maybe you buy something from Truth Bookstore. You buy a Bible. We spend money for Bibles, and some of them are pretty expensive, especially if you get a good one, good cross references. And we may spend $70, $80, $90 on a Bible or more. But when it comes to the truth, a lot of people buy Bibles, but they haven't truly bought the truth in the sense that they haven't read it, understood it, and received it. They have not obeyed it. And that's what we're talking about. We need to accept, believe, and obey the Word of God. And you can't do that with money. You can't earn that. The truth proceeds from the grace of God. God has extended His truth to us by His grace, and because He loves us, He has extended the truth to us. Too many, I'm afraid, have not received the love of the truth that they might be saved. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. But we need to, and we must. In Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 3, Ho, everyone who's thirst, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what is not satisfied? So he's saying, come to the waters. Come to what I provide, God is saying. Verse 2 goes on, Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. He's not talking about just eating food. He's talking about receiving His truth into your soul. You feed upon His Word. You listen carefully to what God says. And verse 3, Incline your heart and come to Me. That's how we buy the truth. We listen carefully to what God says. We delight in the Word. We incline our ear to what God says. In other words, we have a tendency, a propensity to learn, to lean in to what He has to say. We want to hear Him. And we come to Him through it. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David. That's speaking of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how we buy the truth. We listen carefully to it. We delight ourselves in it. We incline our ear to it. We come to it through obedience. And we live. Not with money or by merit, but by receiving what God has offered. It requires effort. Too many today are intellectually lazy. We spend too much time watching television. And we allow that to be our babysitter. Not only for our children, but for ourselves. And we are intellectually lazy. Too many of us are. In Acts 17 and verse 11, the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And if they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things that they were taught were so. Is that what we do? Do we search the Scriptures daily? Do we constantly read and study our Bible to find out whether what we have bought is the truth or not? In Psalms 1 and verse 2, But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. Do you meditate upon the law of the Lord day and night? Do you delight in it to that point? In Proverbs chapter 2, there are several passages we could point out in Proverbs, both chapters 1 and chapter 2, but chapter 2 and verse 4 makes this point. In fact, let's back up and read the beginning of verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out with discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now, what does it take again? It takes receiving God's Word. It takes treasuring God's Word. It takes inclining your ear or bending your ear to hear what God has to say. It means to apply what you've learned to your life, to apply your heart to understanding, and to cry out for discernment, to understand God's Word, and lift up your voice for understanding, and seek her and search for her as great possession. So it requires effort. It requires proper attitude. We must love the truth. We must love it. We must be sincere. We must be humble and we must be meek. And that is, we allow God to mold us and form us through His Word. We're humble enough to accept it and we are meek enough to allow Him to change us and form us and discipline us. Psalms 119, verse 97 through 104. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Love. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Psalms 25 and verse 9. We must be humble. We must be humble. James 1 and verse 21. Receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your soul. So you have love, sincerity, humility, and meekness. All those things are necessary requirements for us to buy the truth. And it requires application. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. talks about the Word of God, sharpening two-edged sword. It's very, very powerful. But you know what? We also then must apply it. You go on into chapter 5, and he makes that point, does he not? What about those who have not grown spiritually like they should have? They have not spent the time in the Word of God that they should. They are as babes. They are not able to discern between good and evil. In James chapter 1 and verse 22, be doers of the Word and not hearers only. When we are only hearers of the Word, we don't practice it, we are not going to grow like we should. We may have an intellectual understanding of truth, but we do not have a practical understanding of truth. We need both. We need both. It's not just that we need to understand the right doctrine. It's important. That's not all there is to it. We also have to take that doctrine and apply it to our life. We need to be practitioners. It must be the truth. What we buy, we need to make certain that what we buy is the truth, only the truth. John 8:32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Friend, false doctrine doesn't make you free. Error doesn't free you from sin. I don't care how much you believe it. Error will not save you from sin. It takes the truth to do that. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. What Jesus says, as he has been sent to reveal the truth, what Jesus says is true. We must accept his gospel. Only the truth, only the teachings of Christ, nothing else. Not the doctrines and the commandments of men, Matthew 15:7-9. Jesus condemned those scribes and Pharisees because they had worshipped God. He says, in fact, in vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrines, the commandments of men. Those who worship God through the doctrines and commandments of men, their worship is vain. It's not accepted. We must be willing to accept all of the truth. We must be willing to accept it all. The entirety of thy word is truth. But what a lot of people do is they'll accept some of it. They will accept what they agree with. They accept what they are willing to practice. But if there is something in God's word that they are not willing to practice, they just, I'm not going to do that. And then they try to find a way to justify themselves and do it or not do it. Galatians 1:6-9. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you under the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another. But there are some that would pervert the gospel of Christ. They claim to accept it. They claim to be following it. They claim to be teachers of it. But yet they've perverted it. They've twisted it into something else. We must be willing to accept all the truth. We must be willing to change our views, our opinions about things, when we are confronted with the truth of God's Word. And we need to constantly strive to seek for that truth so that we can have the correct understanding in all things. The truth, also, we need to examine the doctrine to make sure that what we have accepted is truth before you buy it. Again, Acts 17:11-12, the Bereans are a worthy example. 1 John 4 and verse 1, we're to test the spirits to see whether they are of God. We need to test the spirits, just like the Bereans did. That's what they did. They tested the spirits. They searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things that they were taught were so. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, we are to test all things or to prove all things. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Jesus is commending the church at Ephesus for that. But we live in a society today, in fact a religious society today, in which that's not good. Doctrine doesn't matter. You shouldn't be studying and searching out to see whether that doctrine is right or wrong. Doctrine doesn't matter, we're told. Well, we need to examine the doctrine before we buy it because doctrine does matter. In the epistle to Timothy by the Apostle Paul, Paul made this point in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Beginning in verse 12, he encourages Timothy to walk worthy of the gospel which he preached. In verse 13, till I come, give attention to reading, exhortation to doctrine. Verse 15, meditate on these things. Verse 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Doctrine is important. You know, Eve bought a lie. She bought a false teaching from Satan. Satan comes along and he says, didn't God make every tree in the garden? And he says, yes, but there's one tree in the middle of the garden that God says, I cannot eat of. And so Satan says, for God knows that when you eat of it, you will be wise. Satan tempted Eve. She looked, she beheld it, she wanted it, was able to make her wise, so she took of it. Eve bought a lie. And you know, you go back and you read that. Eve, remember, she responded to Satan, you know, if we eat of that tree, God says we shall surely die. Satan said, you shall not surely die. I mean, everything that God said in that statement, you shall surely die, was repeated by Satan except for one thing. He added one little word, not. One little word changed the meaning of that entire statement. Eve bought his lie. Eve bought his change. And people today are perverting and twisting and corrupting the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to make sure that what we buy is the truth. Some have never bought the truth because they have not received the love for the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12. God's offered it. God's provided it. But man just hasn't received the love for it. And they will not accept or consent to the words of Christ. 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5. Just like people then, people today have the same constitution. They still will not buy the truth because they don't want to comply with what Jesus says. Or they resist the truth. They're always learning, but they're never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 3, 6 through 8. Never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. They're always learning. They're not applying. Many people go to school to learn how to understand the Bible. They're taught all these theological concepts. And they get all this stuff in their head that, in fact, they wind up more confused than ever. They're always learning, but they're never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Why? Because they really haven't received a love for truth. They put more stock in the teachings of men than they do the Bible. Sadly, but that's the case. Some are deceived. Matthew 15:14, if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Duplicity of character. They come, as Ezekiel says in Ezekiel 33 and verse 31, they come before you as my people do. They hear my words, but they do not do them. James 1, 21 through 24, they're hearers of the word and not doers only. Thus, when they look into the perfect law of liberty, they forget. They turn away and they go away from it. They don't practice it. They forget what manner of man they were. So duplicity of character. They don't want to practice it. Or shallowness of heart. Maybe they receive it for a short period of time, but when trials and tribulations come along, they reject it. And they cannot anchor with conviction. They're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We need to find the truth, and we need to grab a hold of it, and we need to not let go. Too many people are selling the truth. Israel of old sold the truth, Jeremiah 9, 1 through 14. They sold it. Others have exchanged the truth for a lie. The Apostle Paul in Romans 1, verses 18 through 25, talks about those. They had it, just like Israel of old. They had it. They could not have forsaken the truth if they had not had the truth. And you cannot exchange the truth if you do not have the truth in your possession. So the people that Paul is talking about, they had the truth. But what did they do? They exchanged it for a lie. And some sell the truth to make merchandise of others. They are so interested in making money themselves, they'll do anything, they'll say anything. Forget whether it's true or not. We can be turned from the truth by error. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 4 and Titus 1 and verse 14. They were turned from the truth. We can wander away from the truth. 2 Timothy 2, verse 18. James 5, 19. Those who have wandered away from the truth, those of you who are spiritual, restore them. Save a sinner. Save a soul from death when you do that. So we can wander away from truth. We can turn our back on it. We can sell it by not receiving it and practicing it. We can be hindered from obeying the truth. Galatians 3 and verse 1. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Galatians 5 and verse 7. Been hindered from obeying the truth. We can be hindered by others. We can sell the truth out because we'd rather be men pleasers than God pleasers. So truth can be sold. Buy the truth and sell it not. Do you take a smorgasbord, a buffet line type approach to the truth. You say, well, I'll have a little bit of that, but I don't want that. And I have a little bit of that, and I don't want the rest of that. Some of us are picky eaters. And we don't want everything that's on the line. But when it comes to God's Word, we need all of it. We need to accept everything that God says. We need to accept it. We need to believe it. And we need to obey it. How much value do you personally place upon the truth? What are you willing to give up? Are you willing to give up some television shows so that you can spend more time studying your Bible? Are you willing to give up recreational time in order to study your Bible a little more? How much value do you place on the truth? What are you willing to give in exchange for the truth? How much time do you spend studying the Word of God? How much time do you spend searching to make sure that those things that I teach you are true? How much time do we spend doing that? How much effort do you put into obeying what is true? Buy the truth and sell it not. You know, the truth has been made available to all of us. It's free. It's free. And it's able to set us free from sin. Are we willing to accept it and be made free and thus being made right with God? God wants you to come to a knowledge of the truth that you might be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. God wants you to be saved. So, what is your obligation to the truth? Well, you are to buy it. And don't let go of it. Buy it. Receive it. Accept it. Believe it. Obey it. Have you believed the truth? The gospel of Jesus Christ? That Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? That He is now Lord of lords and King of kings? That He is God's spokesman in our final time, in this last time? Do you believe that? Are you willing to listen to whatever He has to say, believe what He has to say, and obey Him? Are you willing to confess Him before men? Are you willing to confess the truth of who Jesus is? Are you willing to repent of your sins, to change your mind? That is, to change your way of thinking, to conform to the Lord's way of thinking, to repent, to turn away from sin, and to turn to serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to be baptized for the remission of your sins? When you do that, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, having been born again by the word of truth. Why not be born into the family of God by obeying the truth, by submitting to the truth, by the truth this morning? Don't ever let go. Maybe you're here this morning and you have once bought the truth, but you have sold it. Get it back. Buy it back. Accept it, believe it, and obey it. Do whatever you need to do this morning to get right with God as we stand and sing.